Preacher and author George Sweeting tells a story how it was springtime and he was at Niagara Falls and their family was watching the river as it flowed into the falls, and it was because it was spring, there was ice that was rushing down the river. And as he viewed large blocks of ice flowing toward the falls, he could see the carcasses of dead fish that were frozen in the ice. They also saw just numbers of birds that were riding these chunks of ice, and they were feasting on the dead fish that were in the ice. And then as the chunk of ice would come to the edge of the falls, the birds would spread their wings and fly away. The chunk of ice would plunge down into Niagara Falls. And he watched one gull, which seemed to delay leaving the chunk of ice where he was feasting. It seemed he was so engrossed in the carcass of a fish that when it finally came to the brink of the falls, he put out his powerful wings to be lifted. And he flapped and flapped and flapped and could not be lifted. It seems that his feet had frozen to the piece of ice, and he plunged with that ice to his death. And Sweeting makes this observation: the material possessions of this world can entrap us if we become too attached to them. They will take us to our destruction if we cannot give them up. And he said, oh, the danger of delay. Well, we're in a series entitled Holy Calling, pursuing God's holy calling in an unholy culture. The scripture that is our theme verse for this series that we will embark on, last week was our first time in the series, and over the next number of weeks and months, we will look at this together, is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Let's lift our voices and say this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, and then verse 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And when you read conversation, because of the way English has changed over the years, it's more than just what you're saying. This is a description of the way that you live and the way that you carry out your life. And in the midst of an unholy culture, God is calling us to reflect his holiness. And so in each part of this series, we're going to address a different subject that we'll find a challenge in our unholy culture as we pursue God's holy calling. And the subject that we're going to address tonight is the subject of materialism. That is, a selfish preoccupation upon the material things rather than on spiritual things. So who is more materialistic, do you think? The person who is wealthy or the person who is poor? I submit to you, it really has nothing to do with the amount of money and stuff you have. It has everything to do with the attitude that you have. It's really not the issue, is not the status that you have as far as your possessions. But really what makes materialism materialism is a preoccupation with things. So a person who's well off can enjoy those things and share those things, but they may not be preoccupied with those things. But what about a person who is, if you think of the lowest level of the socioeconomic level, you think about that person. Could it be that that person is far more preoccupied with things? So let's talk about materialism tonight, and I'm going to have you turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, where God addresses this subject of materialism. You'll find God addresses it throughout the scriptures, and we will share together and walk through the scriptures with God's help. But we're going to focus on one portion of scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And when you get there, we'll begin in verse 17 and we will consider through verse 19. And God gives us some really great advice from this passage on the subject of materialism. All right, we'll pray and ask God to speak to us. Lord God, we ask It's so easy for us to be caught up in material things. They are a necessary part of life. They are part of the stewardship of the life that we have. And all of us are to handle each resource you give us faithfully. It's part of our life stewardship. But it's easy to get so preoccupied with things and the status of things and to make that such a focus in life that we lose, we become bad stewards of it and lose an eternal perspective. So God, help us in it, we pray. And give your people liberation tonight. Give your people encouragement and joy of your goodness to us in every way. And so we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God's advice for us then in 1 Timothy chapter 6 begins with this piece of advice. It's a great piece of advice when it comes to materialism. It's this: guard your spirit about material provision. Guard your spirit about material provision. So you'll notice how God addresses this in verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. These are people that are doing pretty well. And he reminds them, charge them that they are not high-minded. High-minded reminds us to be careful that we don't become arrogant. This term is used one other time in the New Testament. It's used in Romans chapter 11 and verse 21, talking about people who have come to faith in Christ and they become arrogant. They're not Jewish people, they're Gentile people, and God in His mercy sent the gospel to them as well as to the Jew. And then these Gentile people get arrogant, thinking, oh, we must be really, really special. We must be really something. And he tells those people who are very arrogant about their salvation as though they deserved it better than somebody else, you better watch your attitude. You're arrogant. High-minded. And here God reminds us about the material possessions that we enjoy. And we as Americans are very blessed. We live better than most of the people in the world, in one sense. But to be careful when we're well provided for, be careful about your attitude to yourself. That I'm something I'm not really, as though I'm better because God has provided things for me. About our stuff and a preoccupation with stuff, about our status. And the fact is that our status can be considered by our stuff. And it really brings us back to having a humble and grateful attitude to God for everything, no matter what we get or we don't get, what we have or we don't have. It is interesting in your Bible, look in the same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The real issue is that they that will be rich, their life is all about money, 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 money. And you know what? There is nothing wrong with having money, 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 money. Not at all. In fact, God gives some because He knows He can trust them with it. How many of you would like God to give you some so you can just test to see if He'll trust you with them? Test me, Lord. Send that trial. But now don't buy a lottery ticket to get it. Now, hold on. Sure. But is your life about getting more and more and more and more and having more and having more and having more? I'm not talking about diligence in business. In fact, diligence in business is wonderful. Not only do you receive blessing, think of so many others you bless when you're diligent in business. I love people that are great at business and they have faith and they'll venture and they'll try this and they'll do that. And God's blessed them with a mind to do that. But the real issue is the stewardship of what God gives. And it's not so much that you're living poor. I've just got to have money, money, money. Now, hold on a second. Guard your spirit. In a world that is driven by materialism, I think it's good for all of us sometimes to step back a little bit and say, wait a minute, I need to guard my spirit. Do I need to just keep buying and buying and buying just because it's easy to do Amazon Prime? And do that. How many of you ever done this? Do that fast checkout. See, I don't know much about it. I was trying to get some, and I accidentally hit like this fast checkout. And the next thing you know, I had this thing I ordered. I didn't even know what I did. I've learned. But I mean, guard your spirit. Guard your spirit when it comes to material things. It is interesting, verse 17, again, the Apostle Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Hey, just as we have to guard our spirit about material possessions, there's another wonderful word of advice that God gives us here, and that is guard your certainty in material possessions. Because if you're not careful, you put your trust in the financial resources you have rather than in God. As an application, R. Kent Hughes, in the book I told you about last week that was the simple mistake that turned into this series of messages, and this subject in an application, R. Kent Hughes applies this to three different areas. He said that reminds us that riches can be delusive, that you think you're okay and you think you're wise and you think, well, look at all this stuff I have. I must be doing something right. I must be doing okay. And when in reality, you could be spiritually poor, it can be delusive. Riches can be idolatrous, and you'll sacrifice and worship at the altar of material possession and money and status. It can be idolatrous. You can worship those things rather than God. And then he reminds us they can be damning, because he reminds us in Mark chapter 4, Jesus gives the parable of the soils, and the sower goes forth and sows the seed, and some falls on ground, and the seed begins to take root. But then what happens is the cares and the riches of this world, like thorns, choke it out. And the opportunity of receiving the seed of the word is stolen from them. And he makes the application that indeed there are those who, when the truth of the gospel is given, because they're so consumed with this world and the cares of riches, that they will miss the opportunity to respond to the gospel of Christ because they're so consumed with their stuff and material things. And then I would add one more. And that is that riches and wealth can be deceitful. The Apostle John writes the book of the Revelation, and he is writing some messages to churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor. You find them in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. And so you'll find these letters that Jesus writes to these seven local congregations, and he has a word for each of them. And the church at Laodicea, he says to them in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, in fact, I thought I'd quote it, but I think I'll just go ahead and read it and make sure I get it right. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you think, well, boy, look at our bank account. And they're like we do. The church that they ought to see, I bet they had a quarterly business meeting. I bet they do like we do, and they look at the financial sheet. Look all that's come in and how it's gone out. And they look at all the balances and all the funds. And they look at it and say, "Woo! Look at that business sheet. I mean, this is tremendous. We must be doing great." And Jesus says, you are so deluded because you think that because you're doing well financially, you're doing well spiritually. And you don't even know that in my sight, though you may be dressed well to everybody else, in my sight, you are naked. No, you think you see so fine and so well, in my sight, you are blind. You know, it could be that God may be speaking to you because you, for the first time, begin to understand that there's something in my life that I have to really be careful of. I have to guard my certainty as though my bank account is my hope. Now, how many of you would rather have a bank account that's doing a little better than one that's not doing so well? Oh, come on. You're looking at me like, oh, no, I'm spiritual. Sure. We can't put our trust in that bank account. So God gives us a great word of advice here. Guard your certainty in material possessions. Would you take your Bible and go with me to the book of Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12. Now this account actually begins in the end of Luke chapter 11. And you have these Pharisees and scribes who are trying to trip Jesus up. You read chapter 11, verses 53 and 54. And in the meantime, while these Pharisees and scribes are watching what Jesus says and what he does, and they're trying to catch him so that they can bring an accusation against him, in the meantime, the beginning of chapter 12 tells us in the first couple of verses that a crowd begins to form. And Jesus begins to teach them. And then, as Jesus is teaching, there is, in Luke chapter 12, a human interruption. Look at verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. This, after this demand is made, then Jesus gives an answer. Verse 14. He said to him, Man, who made thee a judge or a divider over you? You know, Jesus said some really great advice there, too. If it's not your business, stay out of it, right? What you and your brother, you're fighting over your inheritance, that's not my business. I'll let you fight over your own business. But what do you do when you receive an interruption? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus did on this occasion. When he was interrupted, Jesus used the occasion to give divine instruction in verse 15. And he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. There's a warning to heed. There's instruction to receive. But then Jesus gives a practical illustration and he tells a story. Don't you like stories? Everybody likes stories. We all like stories. And he gives this story. It's a parable. I'll begin reading in verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods and laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which he has provided? And then Jesus makes the point of the story in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And that's the preacher's point. It's not so much having barns and knowing what to do as an entrepreneur and handle the increase and grow and develop your business. That wasn't the point. The point was that his whole life was so caught up in growing and developing his business that he was rich in stuff, but he wasn't rich toward God in things that really mattered. So make sure that you're rich in those things that really matter. So the Apostle Paul then gives great advice. Guard your spirit about material things. Guard your certainty in material things. And then there's another point that he makes, and it's really good advice. Regard your source for material things. And we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. And I want you to notice what God says, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world. We read that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Make sure that you remember that everything, every opportunity, everything you enjoy comes from the living God. He's the source. Do you know what God's message for Moses was about this subject? Go in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll select some verses to follow. You can follow with me in them. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land wherewith the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Then down to verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of depths, of spring, depths that spring out of valleys and hills. And then verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly or beautiful houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. Now forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Boy, that's great advice. You better be careful, Moses reminds them. Be careful, because God is going to pour his blessing out on you. He's going to meet every need. In fact, he'll not only meet every need, he'll provide every want. And things are going to be so good for you. And you will live in the incredible blessing that God has provided for you in his grace. And be careful that you start thinking that I'm pretty good. Yeah. And forget the source is the God who has provided it all. Now, how many of you think you can say the Lord's Prayer by memory? How many of you think you can say the Lord's Prayer by memory? Okay, let's try it. We're going to do the one in Matthew that uses the word trespasses, not debts. Okay, let's try it. Are you ready? Jesus, remember, he taught the disciples how to pray. Let's lift our voices and see if we can get each other through it. We're going to do it together. Are you ready? Here we go. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I forgot about the forgive us our trespasses. Well, there's a prayer that Jesus taught. If you want to get it right, read about it. Matthew chapter 6. I think it's verse 19 to 21. That's wrong. It's 9 to 13. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, every day when we pray, it reminds us that God gives me the need that I have today. In fact, the word that's used there is a wonderful word. Sometimes there's poor, like we're not poor, but we're poor, but we're not dirt poor. And sometimes there's another word that means we're dirt poor. We're talking about every day we're begging God, would you give us bread today? That's the term that's expressed here. Give us this day our daily bread. God, we need you today. And that ought to be our attitude. God, I need you today. I hope. Listen, how many of you have known, you've done this time in your life when you've been in places where you were praying every day, God, I need you to meet my need today financially. You've seen God do that in your life. You've been through times like that. Wow, we have. We don't know how it's going to work, but God, we're going to trust you in this thing. God always takes care of it. But not just about money. It's that the point that Jesus is making is make sure you depend on me in everything. I'm the source that is your source of provision. But you think about this. Do you live your life in a regular way that today, God, what do I need your help on today? I've got this endeavor in my business I need your help on. Would you help me with this? I've got to deal with this matter at home. I've got to deal with this matter at school. I've got this project. I'm having a hard time concentrating. How many of you have a hard time concentrating sometimes? That's my life right there. Especially when it's beautiful weather outside. I'd rather go do a whole lot of other things than do what I need to do. Sometimes, Lord, help me. So we are, but living this way where every day, God, you are my source in every area of your life. But in this case, Jesus made a point of it. Give us this day our daily bread. Today, Lord, help me. You're the source of my provision today. And then it brings us all the way back to the Apostle Paul again, when he gives this message to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, or verse 17 rather. But put your trust in the living God. You see, God is a living God. And one of the wonderful things about knowing a living God is a living God can come through in living in fresh ways in your life. So when you think about what is it that I need today? Lord, I have a rotten attitude. How many of you have ever had a day when you've just had a stinking rotten attitude? How many of you have had a day when you just feel like you don't want to be around anybody because your attitude is so bad, you're afraid it's going to spread? How many of you have been around that person, but you don't have the courage to tell them, would you please go into your room and shut the door and come out tomorrow? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't you want to tell that? Don't you ever want to tell that person sometimes? But when you have a living God, you see what happens is every day, I'm just having my attitude is terrible today, Lord. It's not an attitude of faith or gratitude. It's not an attitude that pleases you in any way. So God, you're a living God that makes a difference. And I want you to help my attitude today. That's my need today. You start thinking about the need that you have in your life and you start living that way. Then what you'll find is that this God who is more than just God bless America and there's a God out there and that is somewhere that is distant and yet he's unrelated to your daily living. This God now, when you learn to live this way, becomes the God who is proving himself regularly that he is a God that is alive and he is real and he is working in your life. He's a living God. I wonder how many of us would say, yes, my God is a living God, but we live in our spiritual existence like he is not even alive because he is unrelated to the reality of how we live regularly. So regard... regard your source for material things, that this is the living God. And then there's one other thing, and then will be the one other wonderful word of advice God gives Timothy, and that is guard your stewardship. Guard your stewardship, because we are told these words, verse 17, that God, who giveth us all richly all things to enjoy, And then in 18 and verse 19, God goes further to tell us about our stewardship. And it reminds us of this in verse 17, that your stewardship includes the enjoyment of what God gives you. God gives us all things richly to enjoy. If God meets a financial need for you, is there anything wrong with enjoying it? Does that make you materialistic? I'd say it makes you grateful. Enjoy it. If God provides it, you've been faithful to the Lord in those resources, and God has provided something for you, enjoy it. It ought to be a time of gratitude and worship and remembering. See, God, you provided this. I'm grateful for the enjoyment that I can receive from this. So part of your stewardship includes the enjoyment of what God gives you, but then your stewardship also includes the employment of what God gives you. And in this portion of Scripture, there are three key questions that we need to ask based on this passage to help us to know if we are employing the resources God gives us in faithful stewardship. The first is this: am I employing God's provision wisely? So in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. You see, wisdom means that I'm investing in causes that matter and I control what God gives. So don't waste it. Every financial resource is a provision given by God. Don't waste what God gives you. Make sure you're doing good planning and being wise with it. And isn't that the point? Wisdom? To meet needs now, to prepare for things in the future, to bless others, to live by faith, to be wise, to be diligent. Am I employing God's provision wisely? And that's a good question for you to ask yourself. Here's a second question to ask yourself. Am I ready and willing to share? So keep reading, if you will, in verse 18. Ready to distribute and willing to communicate, to share. Am I ready and willing to share? Oh my, you talk about two interesting stories. Go to your Bible, keep in Luke chapter, we'll come back to 1 Timothy 6, but I'm going to go back to Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. There are two stories when God asks people for stuff. And watch what each of these individuals do. Luke chapter 18. And I'll begin reading in verse 18 of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler, man, well off, position of authority and respect, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, or save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All of these have I kept from my youth up." When Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Jesus asked for his stuff. No, Lord, not going to. I would doubt that the Lord has asked you to sell everything you have and give to the poor, though the Chattanooga Rescue Mission will be glad to receive the donation when you sell everything you have. But the point wasn't all the stuff. The point was, are you willing to share and share it when Jesus asks you to? Luke chapter 19, we meet another man. Jesus made a difference in his life. Luke chapter 19, I'll start reading in verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Remember, a publican, a Jewish person who was a Roman tax collector, and the Jews hated Roman tax collectors, and these guys were getting rich off the backs of their countrymen. Oh, they were despised by Jewish people. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not see for the press of the people, because he was of little stature. He's just a little guy. He couldn't see over everybody's head. How many of you kids know what that's like? And ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down." Oh, no, that's the song. I'm sorry. "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." See, Zacchaeus wanted God so bad that he was willing to give up whatever he had. When Jesus asks you to share, are you willing to share? That's a good test to know if you have your stuff or your stuff has you. Do you have your stuff or does your stuff have you? And you know, when Jesus asks you to share, will you hold on or will you willingly share? And that's the point of it all. I mean, whose is it anyway? And then here's the third question. Will this make a difference in eternity? Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 19. "Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay a hold on eternal life." It's not that you are earning eternal life by giving. It is that when you invest in those things that matter in eternity, you are already now enjoying the blessing of the eternity that God has for you. Well, how many of you are animal lovers? Who's an animal lover? Man, good. Animal lover. Well, I was told about this, and this is unbelievable, about an individual who received over the years from a Christian organization all kinds of financial resources, unearned, given, for whatever reason. It's not my business. But when that person finally passed on to glory and their estate was meted out, for the work of the gospel, a pittance. For the local animal shelter, $250,000. In eternity, listen, I love animals. You love animals. How many of you? You're animal lovers. But in eternity? And the resources God, with which God has blessed you? Do you think that's a wise investment of those resources? See, for somebody that looks at life from God's perspective in eternity, I say no. I want to invest in things that matter in eternity. And when you think about where you're spending your money, and you think about how you're planning your financial life, and you think about how God is working in your life, you always want to stop and think this question: what about eternity? What am I investing in, and how am I spending now and planning now that will make a difference in eternity? Hmm. So the question always becomes, when it comes to materialism, again, it has nothing to do with the amount of stuff you have. Nothing at all. It has everything to do with your attitude toward the stuff that you have. And so you want to ask yourself, do I have my stuff, or does my stuff have me? And when your stuff has you, then you need to make some adjustments in your life. But whenever you realize everything is God's, it's all His, He provides it, He guides in it, I enjoy everything that He gives, I want to be faithful in everything that He gives, and I want to make sure that I'm investing wisely in life and in eternity. That is how we pursue God's holy calling in an unholy culture. With that, we will stand and pray and be dismissed. Would you stand with me, please?